Okay, we will not be reading from the book tonight, so I don't have any page numbers for you. And before we begin, let's take a few moments to be quiet together. Good evening, and welcome to everyone who's joining us on the Internet. You may not have thought about it, but when you practice the two-step, when you reach out to the Holy Spirit, when you ask for guidance, you are very specifically requesting to move beyond what you already believe. You are experiencing what you already believe, and you are not experiencing what you cannot believe. The way out of the box, the way out of the limitations you're bound by, is to reach beyond what you believe. And at the bottom line, that's all we're talking about. That is the fundamental point taught by A Course in Miracles. What it amounts to is stretching your boundaries. Accessing what is currently unbelievable to you. You seem to have a terminal illness. It's unbelievable to you that it not only could go into remission, but actually vanish entirely, so that you are not someone with a disease that is in remission. You are whole and invincible where you had believed otherwise. You believe you are human when you are divine. And A Course in Miracles points you in the direction of awakening to your divinity, which means moving into an experience of what is currently unbelievable. And as you take steps to wake up, you push against your doubt, you push against the unbelievability. And even though you have the guidance of the Holy Spirit, even though you have the guidance of your guide, who is fully Christed, fully awake, the guidance given stretches you sometimes uncomfortably, because the call is for you to experience something more than you are experiencing. That there is a demand for you to experience more. A demand that you can't shove aside or make nothing of. And so you feel pushed. And yet it's unbelievable. And so, your faithlessness comes into play. Well, in other words, you're having little faith in the guidance that is given as a result of your successfully doing the two-step, as a result of successfully abandoning your willful intent to believe only what you believe, so that you might access the more of what God is being than what you're currently experiencing. You see? You see, it's not your faith that needs help, it's your faithlessness that needs to be lifted up. It's your faithlessness that needs to be replaced with the inspiration of the truth. Faithlessness is expressed in an unwillingness to believe what you can't believe. When you find yourself bound by a demand to believe what you can't believe, and you are stuck in that in-between place, you become immobilized. And it feels as though the only thing that will get you out of that is an act of willfulness, some strong personal assertion to overcome the inertia. But the simple fact is that the only thing that you can willfully assert is what you already believe. There is no way to assert what you don't believe yet. And there is no way to access what you don't believe through the assertion of what you do believe. I'm going to say that again. There's no way to access what you don't believe through an act of assertion of what you do believe. You can only yield into the unbelievable. You can only yield into what the Holy Spirit will reveal to you in the absence of willfulness. You see, willingness to believe what you can't believe becomes the door through which the Holy Spirit can enter into your awareness and inspire you with the truth that goes beyond what you currently believe and lift you into the experience of fulfillment that you want, but that you haven't been able to access because of your very strong beliefs. You see? Faithlessness or doubt is never charged. It's just doubt. It's just an inability to believe the truth of something. But when your doubt becomes energized by fear, it becomes anxiety. And if you persist, the anxiety is enervating, debilitating, immobilizing. Why am I bringing this up? I'm bringing it up because it's an experience that all of you have had or will have as you lean into the Holy Spirit more and more significantly, more and more consistently. You will find yourselves led to do what seems to be impossible to you, because it's time for a breakthrough, because it's a time for a real shift to occur. And you will resist it. What will be needed is for you to ask further questions of guidance, of the Holy Spirit. But when you're immobilized by anxiety, you're inclined to say, why should I ask guidance for information, for an understanding, in quotes, that doesn't make any more sense than what I've already gotten? Why should I ask a question that's going to generate more anxiety? I would be better off resorting to the assertion of will and break through this inhibition on my own. It very often seems that an act of willfulness constitutes real movement. It can seem like that when willfulness doesn't constitute movement at all. Because movement is the clear and simple result of yielding what? Into the movement that you are not initiating. Which, because it is the movement of creation, it is the movement of the Father, constitutes fulfillment beyond what you could imagine, beyond what you currently believe. You see? Now, I'm bringing this up because, in very practical terms, as I shared 2 weeks ago, Paul and Susan are in the process of taking the steps needing to be taken to put the old residence on the market. And when it became apparent that this needed to happen now, for whatever reason, it went beyond Paul's sense of what was possible. He found himself full of arguments. It's not the right time. There's no way to do it. He will look like a fool in front of everyone when he publicly shares that steps need to be taken that he doesn't believe can be taken. And on, the ego ranted and raved. Now, this is not the first time that I have guided Paul and Susan to take steps that seemed to be impossible. There was another time when they moved back to the mainland from Kauai. And when it came time to get a release for the car to be transported back to the mainland, which had been purchased on Kauai, the bank said, no, you cannot take it with you. You have too much of a balance? The logic of it being that once it got back on the mainland, it would be almost impossible to repossess, because difficult to trace. Well, this was shocking news, because it was like a week before the movers would load up the truck and take it down to the ship to be transported. An impossible situation. And then, when I was asked, what do we do? I told them, give the car back to the bank. Well, the first guidance said, the car couldn't, that wasn't the first guidance. The first difficulty that was presented was that the car could not accompany them back to the mainland. The guidance was to move back to the mainland. That presented an impossible situation. Then when I said, give the car back to the bank, that was an absolutely impossible situation. How can you move back to the mainland and do anything without transportation? It was alarming. At least Paul was alarmed. Nevertheless, he called the bank and said to them, we will let you repossess the car. And that was that. Within 24 hours, he got a call back from the bank. And he was told that they had reconsidered their decision, and that they would release the car to go back to the mainland for a relatively small sum. It was a sum that was not available in the foundation's account, the car belonging to the foundation. But nevertheless, that was a significant shift. Later that day, after they had gotten the news that a relatively small amount was all that was needed in order for the bank to release the car, Paul and Susan received a call from someone who received the newsletters from the foundation, had attended gatherings and so on, and he was visiting Kauai and wanted to know if he could visit with us. We explained to him, Susan and Paul explained to him, that all there were to sit on were boxes, but they would love to meet with him. And he came and visited, and during the visit, Paul shared the situation. And the gentleman said, well, that's no problem. I'll write you a check right now for the small amount that they require. And it was a gift. So, that which seemed utterly impossible, which seemed to generate guidance that was even more impossible, when tempered with a willingness to believe that maybe the impossible was possible, resolved itself as fulfillment identified. Now, as I said, this is not something that only Paul and Susan will run into or have run into as a result of guidance. Every single one of you will be faced with the call for the opposite of faithlessness, a call for faith, a call for daring to be willing, without employing willfulness, daring to be willing to be open to the possibility of what seems to you to be impossible. And then listening, persisting in listening, being determined, if I may put it that way, focused, without willfulness, to stay steady in the attitude of attention. Attention toward what? More of the ego talk? No. Attention to the guidance that the Holy Spirit is intent upon sharing with every one of you. Because fulfillment is ordained. The experience of what God is actually being is ordained to be your experience and will be your experience when faithlessness is abandoned. Now, as I said, for whatever reasons, the preparation of the old residence for sale registered with Paul as something not possible at this time, something that there was no indication there could be a possibility of. And it was discouraging and immobilizing. And when I shared it with everyone 2 weeks ago, it was difficult for Paul to sit and let me share it, although he did it well. He persisted. Now, we did not have a meeting last week because of the immobilization that he experienced. An immobilization during which he has, to the best of his ability, persisted in asking me and asking of the Holy Spirit, what is the truth here? What is the truth beyond what I seem to be able to embrace? What is the truth beyond what seems to be frightening me? He persisted. He was determined not to be immobilized, but he was also determined not to be willful. And so, we did not have the meeting, and you may have noticed that there has been less activity on the blog. And to tell you the truth, just a moment. It has taken faith on his part to allow this gathering to occur. And yet he was insistent upon putting himself in the place where he could hear what I had to say. For his healing. And for yours as well. When you are stuck because you cannot believe unbelievable good, You can stay stuck for as long as you want. You can be uncomfortable for as long as you choose to be, even though you say that the discomfort has been forced upon you. Or you can engage in the simple act of joining with your guide, joining with the Holy Spirit, reaching out to ask, what is the truth here? As unbelievable as it might be, what is the truth here? Because I want my boundaries stretched. I do not want to remain tied up in a little ball, and I refuse to employ willfulness to break the bondage. You see? This is the good news about the bad news. This is the answer to the difficulty of being stuck by what you currently believe which is incompatible with the unbelievable answers that release you from the human condition, that release you from the concept of your being mortal, that release you from illness, whether terminal or not, or injury or damage, whether supposedly permanent or not. Have enough gumption to persist even in your worst moments to ask the Father, to ask the Holy Spirit, which is nothing but your right, nothing more than your right mind. What is the truth here? Persist in reaching, we'll say, through the veil, through the cloud, through the disturbance that seems to blind you to the experience of joy, the joy of fulfillment. Now, it's your birthright to have the breakthrough. It's your birthright to experience the atonement. It's inevitable. It is inevitable. Because it is impossible for you to remain ignorant of what you never stopped being, the divine, holy son or daughter of God, the perfect expression, his perfect expression. Now, I said 2 weeks ago that we wouldn't keep you informed regarding the refurbishing of the previous residence. And I will share with you, and Paul is very happy, and Susan is very happy that I will share with you, that the support, the contributions that have been received have been quite wonderful. And there is a lot of gratitude and a lot of that gratitude reflects the relief from fear that Paul had been experiencing, which of course had been affecting their relationship. The need is not totally met. It is approximately two-thirds met. But it is an apparently large amount of money. And yet, it is showing up. And although I have spent more time tonight talking about overcoming faithlessness, there is one strong message which we, including me, wish to share, and it is gratitude. Gratitude, Paul can tell you, is a far better thing to be experiencing than faithlessness, fear, and anxiety. And although he is not totally free of faithlessness, fear, and anxiety, his gratitude outweighs it, and he feels the fact that in the face of present gratitude, faithlessness, fear, and anxiety cannot stand. Thank you to everyone who is participating in whatever way they are participating in the support of this movement, which is necessary, and which I will reaffirm will be fulfilled and identified as fulfillment. Thank you again. And I look forward to being with you next time.